are coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Race the Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America live from Saratoga on this Wednesday morning, kicking off week number two up here at Saratoga. We'll jump right in. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Orlando Noda, young up-and-coming trainer. We had him on last year. Thought we'd have him on again at the beginning of the meet, because the other day, the Noda team very happy with a win on day number two at the meet up in the press box, which is now the Turf Terrace dining room up on the third floor, so it's open air. As they came down the stretch for that, what was it, the sixth race Friday, there was somebody whooping and hollering. We were all kind of looking. It was Orlando Noda and team. Rooting home Vintage Hollywood. And again, enthusiastic response in the winner's circle after the victory by Vintage Hollywood. But again, Orlando and Noda Brothers Racing off to a good start at Saratoga. They had a nice little meet last year, so I thought we'd bring Orlando in and talk a little bit about how the last year has gone and whatnot. Is again, up-and-coming guy, still fairly new to the game, relatively speaking. So we'll be joined by him towards the end of the program. A few minutes down the road, Tom Law will join us from the Saratoga Special. Usually on these days, we'll have either Sean or Joe Clancy sit in, but they're not in town currently, although one of Sean's horses is going to be in the stake tomorrow. That's an interesting little side note. But again, the Saratoga Special has kind of changed things up given the situation here at Saratoga. But Tom, based in town, so being one of the Saratoga Special team, I thought we would bring him in to talk some of the steeplechase action today with the Kaiser and tomorrow with the Smithwick. So we'll have Tom in a few. Top of the show, though, I caught up with our friend Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. We met off-site. Again, it's a little bit different this year with the limited number of people that have access to the track and us being here on the backstretch. Certainly this year we'll have some tape pieces to drop in. And this is one of them, Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Again, met her yesterday and just talked a little bit about the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation in general, how you can participate if you'd like to donate. But they also have some events coming up that you can go right to their website and donate directly, or you can participate in some of these events that allow you to donate and maybe have a little fun or a little food as well. So we talked about all that. So up next, from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, Kim Weir. Friend Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Kim, good morning.
It is so great to be here, Seth. Thank you for having me.
Typically, we have Kim for a couple of visits to talk a little TRF, and we'll do it again probably a little bit later in the meet, but we'll kick things off now because there's a couple events and one coming up at the end of this week, so I wanted to touch on that. But before we get to the events and some of the other notes that we want to get to, just give us, you do it every time we're here, but I always think Saratoga, we get new people tuning in, new fans, so give us the mission of the TRF, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation.
Oh, it is always a pleasure to do that. Our mission is to save thoroughbred racehorses who are no longer able to compete on the race track from possible neglect, abuse, and slaughter. And that's what we've been doing for over 35 years, based here in Saratoga Springs, but with a herd of over 500 horses that live across the country, 9 states, 15 farms. And then the special part of what we do, which folks find, I think, particularly interesting, is that since the very beginning, we've had a lot of our horses, over half our herd, live in correctional facilities. And that is our TRF Second Chances program, where we are saving horses and saving lives.
And people can go on the website and pick up some of those videos and whatnot, correct? Because you're not just helping the horses, you're helping the people too.
It's very compelling because the horses are happy as could be because they're with people, but the lives of the humans, men and women, are really being changed. So our website is full of things. We've actually spent some time during our crazy COVID updating our YouTube channel. So if you wanted to check out the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, there's a lot of great videos on there. And when the inmates, the men and women, tell how those horses have touched them, it really does They really get you. Gets me.
we'll put the website up on the screen so people can check that out and go by and visit and potentially donate as well, and also become aware of some of the events you have coming up. And let's touch on one of those, because as I said at the top, you have one coming up at the end of this week on Friday, and people are going to be interested in that one. Gives you a chance to go out and watch the races downtown with a couple notable names involved.
Yes, we are so honored to have an amazing team of ambassadors. Seth, you are certainly one of them because you give us the chance to tell the story of the horses. But a couple other of those ambassadors are our friends Peter Thomas Fornital and Jonathan Kinchin of the In the Money Media Network. And so JK and Pete have been telling the story of the horses for going on 2 years. They are hosting a party, a watch party, on Friday. And Friday is special because it is the Quick Call Stakes Day. And Quick Call, beloved horse in our herd, beloved to many Saratogians, lived to a very ripe age of 35 years, crossed over the Rainbow Bridge last fall very peacefully. So this is our first Quick Call Stakes without the man. But in his honor, Pete and JK are hosting a party at the Walt and Whitman Brewing Company. And if you haven't been there, I cannot tell you how much I love this place. You and I were there in February,
yep,
before the world stopped. it's right in the old Saratogian building, right downtown on the corner of Lake and Maple. And so Pete and JK are hosting a party. We love it when folks do that. It's a $100 donation. That's a straight donation. It all goes to the horses. And that gives you sort of a private party VIP experience with Pete and JK. The great folks at Walt and Whitman have some sort of drink specials in mind. I think there might be a little nibble of food. But even more importantly, because I'm speaking for the horses here, the family behind Walt and Whitman have decided that they want to really inspire folks to come out and be generous. And they are going to match every dollar donated for this party up to $5,000, which is a very generous gift. So it's an exciting way to start the meet for us. It's on a day that we always spend a lot of time at the track. Actually, last year we were all together on Quick Call Stakes Day. So instead, this year we'll be in the backyard. It's a nice outdoor space that they've put together. It has a fence. It has picnic tables, some trees, big TVs. And we'll have all of our gear. We'll have like TRF gear galore. And we'll have some fun watching races in this kind of crazy summer that we're starting off right now.
All to honor the memory of Quick Call, and I'm going to show the 1989 Forgo that Quick Call won. He was the incomparable Quick Call, certainly a Saratoga favorite.
Quick Call on the outside continues to lead. Dancing Spree is still second. Quick Call in front.
Just take a minute to remember Quick Call and what he meant to the TRF.
Oh my gosh, well, he really was that. The idea of the horse for the course, his racing accolades are the ones you can cite better than I can. But when he retired, after a very successful career, he came to the Wallkill Correctional Facility, our very first flagship program. And he was probably like 6 or 7, I don't have it off the top of my head, but he was sort of the age that a horse finishes his racing career. So think about the fact that he then lived till he was 35, and he lived at that prison, loving it, being the man. I mean, he was very famous because he never stopped being a racehorse. He was sort of, I always called him like Mick Jagger, because he was like the dude, and he commanded respect of all the other horses and all the inmates. So when you think about the many, many men who've come through Wallkill and learned something about themselves, something about horses, his career as a teacher was extraordinary, and that was on top of a pretty awesome racing career too.
And did I understand correctly, he's going to be buried over in Clare Court?
He is, and Naira has been a wonderful partner to us, and it'll be really right behind the set when we all get back to normal. And Clare Court, just the most peaceful, beautiful spot on the whole backstretch, is where he will be laid to rest. We're going to save that event for next year because there's so many fans of Quick Call. We want them all to be able to join in that, but it's all set and grateful for it.
Yeah, very appropriate out there in Clare Court for the great Quick Call. And again, that event comes up on Friday down at Walt and Whitman downtown in Saratoga. So again, check out the website for more information and stop on by, participate that way. But you also have a couple other things coming up on Friday and Saturday as well.
Yeah, we really are trying to play our home court advantage. We're based here in Saratoga. The team and volunteers are ready to get out there and talk. So the two other things happening, both on Friday and Saturday, we have a great crew of volunteers who are hosting a used tack sale. This is once again something that our friends at friends have hosted for us. It's Racing City Brewing. Debreen and Tony Oliva are hosting us. They're letting us bring essentially like a yard sale for horse people into their space. It's all very well managed with the markers on the floor for where you stand. And we are wanting to be incredibly careful with all the social distancing. But it's a great way to sort of turn used horsey items into hay for the horses. And so we're there on Friday and Saturday during the racing meet, which means that you can come check out some bridles, some saddles, some buckets, and then you can sit and have a drink and watch some races at the beautiful Racing City Brewery, both Friday and Saturday.
And then also, yes, a table out prime out at Saratoga National. And I know from talking to people from this last weekend, that has become a popular watch spot, prime.
That's what we hear. We are thrilled to be a part of it. And so we have a table there every Friday and Saturday for the whole meet. Once again, my heart goes out to our beloved volunteers because they're helping us staff that, and they just get to talk for the horses. They'll have all of our gear. They'll have information, and we'll have the chance to give out our little postcards for the barbecue that's coming up. But we'll see you out at Prime. Stop by and visit us if you are out there.
And you've talked a couple of times about the PPE. Talk a little about the TRF-branded PPE if folks want to pick up a face mask that has the nice TRF logo on it.
Yes, we all know these are the accessories of the 2020, so we're rocking it. And so we have three different masks. We have green ones, we have white ones, we have black ones. They're all on our website. There's a cotton one that's $10. This one's a little bit like a microfiber. It's $20. And then this is my favorite item of all, because this is the refillable hand sanitizer. I feel like Vanna White here, with the cool green carabiner. So you can hook it on your belt, hook it on your pocketbook. Yeah, and it's like the ever-present TRF logo. And we must embrace it, because this is the world we live in. So you can find all those things if you go to the website, shop. All that good stuff is there, as well as our hats and goodies. So
One of the other events we want to talk about, you've been doing it now, the barbecue was one year,
it was last year the first year.
Up at the Saratoga Winery. I know it was very popular, and with the situation this year, there's going to be a little bit of a different twist on the barbecue that comes up on August 11th.
Yes, we were so ready to just double down and do the exact same thing last year, if not bigger, because we sold out. But, you know, that was not the way the cards were dealt. So instead, we've tremendous partners at the Saratoga Winery. They embraced our vision, which is kind of wacky. I'm not going to lie. We recognize that. So we're calling it the TRF drive-through barbecue at the barn. And it's carry out with a twist. We've all gotten pretty darn good at carry out these days. So what you'll do is you get to the winery and you'll drive around their pretty property and you will enjoy the TRF experience. Well, the TRF experience includes horses. A couple of our boys are coming up from Wallkill. They will meet and greet. You'll see retired racehorses. We're going to throw in some miniature ponies, perhaps a draft horse, keep it fun. And we have a couple great racing celebrities that are already planning to join us. Our own Maggie Wolfendale, a dear board member and superstar, bringing the whole family. And Ramon Dominguez and his beautiful family will be with us. And the idea is that you drive around, you wave, you giggle, and then at the end you pick up a nice green TRF tote full of barbecue. The barbecue's from Barnside Barbecue up in Lake George, and I personally went and tried it this week and gave it my thumbs up.
Yeah, again, it was a popular event last year, and you can swing by. It's a little bit different this year, but again, proceeds go to the TRF. And speaking of that, we at OTB happy to be kicking off this afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, the Times Union Charity Bet. Our friend Mike Callahan will be at the helm, and so we're hoping for a good day for Mike with his plays for the TRF. But talk a little bit about also if folks do want to donate. You know, we've talked about a number of ways they can do that through some of these events, but anybody can swing by anytime and donate through the website too, correct?
Absolutely. The horses, we always sort of laughingly say they eat cash for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so there's lots of ways to give. And if you go to the website, it'll say how to help, and there's a bunch of options. The hay drive is a very popular way folks like to give to that. Even with the barbecue, we're letting folks far away who can't come this summer, and we know a lot of them are probably watching you right now wishing they were here. You can buy a bag of grain or a bale of hay at the barbecue, and you may not pick up your own barbecue, but you'll pick up something for the horses. So every little bit of that makes a huge impact. Never want folks to underestimate the power of any gift. A $10 gift goes a long way. And then the last thing you always ask me, so I'm jumping the gun, is volunteers. We are covering...
It was right on my list.
I know it was. You're so good. Well, I just want you to know how much we appreciate that, because our volunteers are the lifeblood of this organization, especially in a year where we're just trying to cover every vantage. So please be in touch through the website if you'd like to volunteer.
And you've mentioned this before, and it's worth mentioning again. you can volunteer kind of, any form of participation. If you're a horsey person, you can get involved with the horses. If you're not necessarily a horsey person, you've got some jobs for everybody.
Yeah, we love the folks who like to talk to strangers, and I fall into this category. So that's the sitting at a table at Prime and meeting and greeting. But honestly, we are really, really grateful for folks who like to stuff envelopes. We have had a lot of that going on this fall or over the spring, and there's sort of everything in between. So you're not sort of committing forever, a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Whatever floats your boat, come on down.
Kim, we appreciate the visit. Again, we'll throw up the website if people want to go by and make a donation, but also you can check for all the events that are coming up and participate, because it's a great way for us as fans to kind of give back to the horses that have given us so much. Maybe we've made a couple of bucks on them during our racing day, so it's a way to help transition them into that retirement area. So we really appreciate all the work you do.
Thank you, Seth. It's so much fun to talk about, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of branch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
I got it. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, thanks to Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Again, visit the website to catch up with all the events they have coming up. You can swing by again Walton Whitman on Friday and enjoy Ford Italian Kinchin, and also maybe donate a little money to the TRF. They do great work for the retired Thoroughbreds. All right, happy to be joined now, as promised at the top of the show, by Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. Bring Tom in to talk a little bit on the jump side. Tom, good morning.
Morning, Seth. How are you today?
Very good. Happy to have you on board again. We talked to you opening week, but why don't we give a little reminder for folks? Normally, I said I would have one of the Clancy brothers in here, but they're remotely handling their Saratoga Special duties. You're, of course, based in town, so you're here normally, and will continue to do so, obviously, with the Saratoga Special. But as I say, we talked last week. Again, just update people who are normally looking forward to picking up the paper and reading it during the race meet, how they'll find it during 2020 pandemic Saratoga.
Absolutely. So, sure, you can still get the paper. Just get it without newsprint on your hands. Go to our website. Go to thisishorseracing.com. You can also go to thesaratogaspecial.com to find it. We've done three issues so far. We did an opening day. We did a Saturday. And today, we have an issue today that's fresh off the virtual presses, if you will. We're going to do Wednesdays and Saturdays throughout the meet. So we'll have a lot of like preview in advance stuff on Wednesdays of the week ahead, and then also the same thing for Saturday and Sunday. And the Wednesday edition will also kind of recap what happened opening weekend. So we had a lot of the opening weekend, CCA Oaks, Hall of Fame, Lake Placid, all that kind of stuff in there. And then today's edition had a lot of the jump racing, and we actually had a Vasek Tipton stable tour with Jack Fisher, who's like the leading steeplechase trainer, which was kind of cool. Like, we're doing different things. I mean, it's a different kind of year. That overused D word that everybody's using. But things are going well so far. Like I said, we got three in the books and already started working away on Saturday's edition actually this morning. So.
And I've looked at I didn't see today's yet, but I looked at the first couple and all the things people come to expect. The quotes and the license plates and the fun stuff. And then, as you say, the previews and the recaps of the stakes action. Stable Tour, for folks who don't normally pick up the paper, check it out, because the stable tour is a lot of fun as well. I saw you did Shug the other day too. And particularly this early in the meet, the stable tour, what happens is the trainer goes over, really kind of walks down the shed row virtually and in print, and goes over some of the horses in the barn. And this early in the meet, might get a couple ideas to watch for coming up.
Absolutely. I mean, it's there's a lot of gems in there, I think, for sure. Over the years we've done it. This is the sixth year we've done it now, so there's a huge file of horses that we have that we've done it with. We've done Jeremiah Englehart. I did that one in person with him from, of course, a safe, socially distance scenario. Sean did Shug virtually over the phone. And I and Joe did Jack Fisher virtually as well. We got another one coming up on Saturday that I actually did in person here that actually will be pretty timely for next weekend stakes. So be on the lookout for that. Not to be like a huge tease for it, but, you know, things could fall through, and I don't want to promise. Yeah, the stable tour has been great. Fasig Tipton's been a great sponsor. They came to us a couple years ago and said, can you come up with something new, something different? Certainly not, wasn't anything new that we created. Racing Post, which is a great publication over in Europe, does it, and very comprehensively, in fact. Like, it's amazing to read their stuff. Like, they'll spend like a whole day and stuff with the horses, and I wish we could do that sometimes, and some guys would be totally willing to do that. But yeah, the stable tour has been popular so far, we like to think, and actually started a new, I do have a couple interns on the staff this year, and actually started a new thing Sean and I came up with. We need to like follow up on these horses that are in the stable tour and like let people know when they're running. So like I put a story up last night while we were finishing today's edition of all the horses that are running Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that have actually appeared in the stable tour both this year and last year. I have a new intern, Mary Eddy, that handled that, put all that stuff together. She dug into the research and kind of found the quotes of what the trainers said at the time. Some of them were last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them were just, you know, last week. So that's been pretty cool.
I
so,
like that.
And we're going to follow up and see how they do.
We should also mention, you said Wednesdays and Saturdays, right?
Correct.
But as we mentioned when we had you in last week, and I know a lot of folks look forward to the selections, and the selections, folks can find that every day on the website. And I did not double check the results on Sunday, but I pulled up and saw the selections for Sunday. And Mr. Tom Law was ahead of Mr. Shapazian.
Yeah.
So after Sunday, was that still the case?
Well, I guess maybe the first 3 days I poked the bear a little bit. going into today, we're tied. I think we both have 16 winners out of the 41 races, so we're batting about 39%. I think going into Sunday, I was about 42%, and I was like, something's not going right here. I wish my golf game was that good. But it's off to, I will admit, I typically do get off to a pretty decent start and will have the lead on Shapazian maybe for a day or two, and then that's it. So I do kind of know what it's like to lead him a little bit. I mean, not every year. I'm not gonna boast, but yeah, he knotted it up. He had four on Sunday. I think I had two. So we're tied. Our other two guys are doing pretty good, too. They're at 30%. So that's pretty strong for our group of four.
Absolutely. And again, you can find the selections every day on the website. Before we get into today and tomorrow on the jump side, also wanted to get some thoughts over the first few days of racing. Paris Lights, I thought, looked pretty good in the Coaching Club American Oaks. I liked her. I used her on top. Nice ding-dong battle between the Windstar horses there. I also thought Saturday Decorated Invader looked really good for West Point.
Yeah, very strong. I mean, two really good performances, and I like Paris Lights as well. Picture on top. You know, I just Bill Mott with a filly like that is just going to continue to get better and better the longer he has time to work with her. You know, it's one of those advantages where, you know, maybe she was held up a little bit this spring and stuff, and now she's getting rolling again and at just the right time now for some of these later races, whether they be the Alabama, maybe the Kentucky Oaks, races like that. And just, you know, she was a little green still, but still got the job done. Tyler Gaffleone, who Sean wrote about today in today's edition, touched base with Tyler. And another one of the advantages of kind of doing a little bit of a different publishing schedule, we were able to sort of dig into some of these stories and get some follow-up type stuff that's, you know, what we like to think is kind of unique.
Sure.
And not having to jam it in the next day's edition. So, yeah, a good first weekend, a good first 4 days, and another big 5 days coming up with a big Saturday coming.
As you came on the set today, you said you were out watching some workouts, and a notable, certainly, Whitmore. Give us a little firsthand.
So Whitmore's here. He's going to run in the Vanderbilt on Saturday. It was kind of cool to go out and see him. He, he's one of my favorites. I've become friends with Ron Moquette, his trainer. He and I seem to have a good relationship. I really enjoy spending time with him and listening to hear his thoughts on racing. And Ron isn't here, but his wife Laura is here, and she brought the horse up. And he arrived Monday night, and he didn't train yesterday. I went and stopped in and saw him yesterday, and he jogged just jogged twice around today, kind of an easy work. But he looked good out there. He goes in like that. There's a special window now for shippers, and like the steeplechase horses trained today at like about 9:45, and then they have about a 5-10 minute window, then they open the track back up. It's kind of like
that's interesting. So any horse that kind of hasn't been here for a certain amount of time, they've got a certain block of training hours.
Yeah, I think it's for the shippers. It's probably done to sort of keep the help that comes with them sort of separate from the general population of horses and people. So it was kind of cool to just kind of he didn't quite have the track to himself. There was about a handful of a half dozen jumpers out there that were training too. Jack Fisher and a couple of his horses were going, and it was kind of cool to see. And it's the best is they're all in the stakes barn, so they keep the jumpers in the stakes barn, and Whitmore's in the stakes barn. So you had like the fastest horse in the country, arguably sprinter. He's in there with these, you know, long-winded jumpers. So that was really pretty cool. The jumper guys and Laura were getting a kick out of that.
And I don't know whether you'll know the answer to this question, but there are different protocols in place also for the jump riders, right? They're totally separate jocks room and all of that.
Yeah, so they're keeping those guys separate because obviously they're not here every day riding with the regular colony or even riding out in the morning. So they sort of ship in. They're definitely being kept separate. They have different rooms. I guess the one advantage of everything that's going on is there's a lot of empty space in the facility, both in the offices and in general. There's a lot of empty space. So a lot of other tracks have kind of done this with jockeys that ship in to ride. You know, I know that they did it at Churchill Downs, and Keeneland had a different, well, I guess Keeneland, they are all shipping in, but to just kind of keep them separate. And I know that they have sort of separate areas. I was talking to Johnny Velasquez the other day coming out of the track, and there's separate areas that are in the communications office and where the jockey club's office were and the TV people's offices. So they're doing that with the steeplechase riders. They kind of have a little bit of a different protocol. I have to get COVID-19 tests. I guess they did all those this week in advance to, you know, show negative tests before they ride today. And then they'll ride today and tomorrow, and then, you know, probably head back out of town, and then the traveling show will come back. But these guys will go to Colonial to ride jump races too, and then they'll come back to ride here next week and throughout the meet.
Yeah, so again, it's a different set of rules, essentially, or a different location mainly for the jump jockey. So obviously the rules are being adhered to, and, you know, it's a different world, but everybody's doing what they have to do.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look today and tomorrow, kicking off the jump action today, the Jonathan Kaiser. Tomorrow, the Smithwick, a grade one event, but let's take a look at today's Kaiser. I put Snap Decision on top, and we're going to take a look at Snap Decision winning last time. This was the seasonal debut. The David Semmes Memorial at Great Meadow back on June 27th. And again, Snap Decision wins pretty easily. The question mark is the 162 pounds. Do you tilt in that direction? I did, but I'm a Shepherd guy, and Galway Kid for me, or Galway Kid, is very intriguing, being lightly raced and talented so far. City Dreamer also maybe a little bit interesting as the other Jack Fisher. Fisher trains Snap Decision, but I just couldn't get past the seasonal debut and the talent he showed last year. I'm on Snap Decision. What do you think?
I'm also on the same horse. Yeah. He was definitely the obvious pick in here, coming off a good, nice, useful prep, like you said. And, you know, the lasting image of him is kind of like last year up here. I mean, he won by 38.5 lengths. Now, obviously, it wasn't the greatest race in the world. Obviously, he's going to face much tougher competition today. This is a novice stakes, but him for still to be eligible for the novice is pretty good. A good spot for Jack to run him. You know, he's high on him. He's you know, he's not quite the best one in Jack's string. I think Moscato, who runs in Smithwick tomorrow, might be his best jumper. But this guy's pretty close. I mean, he's 5-for-7 over the jumps. You know, he's a Phipps homebred. I think that the setup of the course here, there's no final jump in the stretch, kind of a half-mile run. I mean, he's a useful flat horse. I mean, he's great at stakes place. He ran the Hall of Fame stakes here. You know, he ran within a half length of Bricks and Mortar at one time. So, I mean, he's a very talented horse. Grandson of Personal Ensign. So the pedigree is certainly there, and he's proven it over the jumps. Like I said, you know, he's got five wins already over the jumps. So, and the 162 is a lot to shoulder. And you know, Jack Fisher made a comment in our stable tour that said, you know, usually maybe it favors the lightweights up here. The lightweights seem to win sort of these big races. It's 9 pounds. I mean, that's a lot, but I think he's just that much better. I think if it was like a 142 to 162 spread, might be a little bit different, but the 9 pounds is not quite as severe.
You with me that the Shepherd horse is a little bit interesting? Lately raced?
Yeah, I like, so for you and I, it's Galway Kid because we're upstaters here. But I do believe it's probably Galway Kid, Irish bred. They're really high on him. They're like very bullish on him. And I think that shows they ran him in a kind of a smaller stakes at Far Hills in his debut. You know, it's the same connections that had Winston C. last year. Of course, Jonathan Shepherd and Hudson River Farms, they're solid. You know, he's run some really good races in three starts. The horse that he beat last time, Brian Bakes Cookies, he's a Jack Fisher horse as well. He showed up in our stable, keep plugging a stable tour, but he showed up in our stable tour. I'm not sure where he ranks on Jack's list. I think he, you know, maybe he's down in the 5, 6, 7, 8 range. So he's and today he's running against, you know, Snap Decision, City Dreamer. Those are, they tend towards the higher side of Jack's list. So I do like him. A horse that I like in second is actually Belisarius. So I've gone with the two morning line favorites. Actually, I'm actually hoping Belisarius might be a little bit of a price. The Daltons, Kate and Bernie Dalton, of course, teamed up. They battled a lot of allergy issues and hives and stuff with this horse last year, which definitely hampered his performance. He just was never really himself. So Jack Fisher actually made a comment that he looked better than he's ever seen him last time when he ran down at Middleburg. So take a look maybe when he's in the paddock. You know, it's obviously fans can't be there in person to get an up-close look, but, you know, keep your eyes on the TV. Of course, a good HD signal that you can get from here. You know, he won going a mile and three-eighths on the grass here, too, back in 2015. So he's got the flat form as well for the, you know, that last half mile with no jump in the stretch. So he could be tough. So, and his last race was good. He's 11 lengths behind Moscato, but like I said, Moscato might be one of the top three steeplechase horses in the country this year. That is in training right now.
Yeah, notable there. All right, so that's the Kaiser for today, which kicks off the jump season. But as I say, we kick off the graded stakes action on the jump side with a grade one tomorrow, the Smithwick. And this race, a lot of fun. I think very competitive. We're going to take a look at Optimus Prime, but we're going to go back to 2018. Optimus Prime is going to win the New York Turf Riders right up here at Saratoga. Will be the two-horse Optimus Prime getting it done, again, over the Saratoga course. But as I say, this was a couple of years ago. Last year, only a couple of starts and then went to the sidelines with a little bit of a ding. Now comes back in the first start of the season. This is an eight-year-old. I put Optimus Prime underneath. I put Jack Fisher's Moscato on top. I'm going to be interested to see where you go, particularly because the boss has Gibralfaro, if I'm anywhere close to pronouncing
you got that. It almost right. Gibralfaro. Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you handle it from now on. But owned by River D, which is, of course, Sean Clancy.
Yeah.
But where are you going to go?
And, of course, Sean also represented in the Kaiser today with City Dreamer. So, big weekend for River D, for sure. Gibralfaro, I actually like him. He's one of those ones that comes in at that little bit of a good break. He's one carrying 142. Optimus Prime gets in it, has to carry 158 off kind of a pretty long layoff. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was very unfortunate that he couldn't run up here last year. Ricky Hendricks got him ready, used the prep race at Parks, kind of that flat race to get him ready for the run up here. He's a serious, very serious horse. Obviously, the one to beat in here. But like I said earlier, Moscato is in the field too. And, you know, Jack, he comes off 11-length win last time in the Temple Guathme down at Middleburg. And I think he's going to be tough. I'm actually going to pick Moscato. I mean, he's going to go 156.
And the recency, so, I think it fell towards him.
Just with the one run. I love Jack Fisher off kind of a good run like that. Jack has a mare in here that's actually kind of interesting. Prava Laguna. She's a French-bred mare that he's run one time. And she's going to very much factor in the filly and mare division. Be anxious to see how she runs. But like I said, I like, you know, it's tough to bet against Jack in a lot of these races. But Optimus Prime is certainly a worthy, deserving favorite, without a doubt.
And we should know, we've talked about him a few times, but on the jump side, I mean, the man used to be my man for years and years, Jonathan Shepherd, but the jump side now, it is kind of Jack Fisher's
absolutely
game.
Absolutely. Yeah. But Shepherd's still very much in the mix. Oh, obviously, absolutely. He had Winston C. last year, and, you know, he's got some good horses, Iranistan, and, of course, Galway Kid running in the Kaiser today. So don't count out Shepherd. I mean, he's still the man.
For me, yeah. Never. Yeah. Never. I'm always on board the Shepherd horse. Yeah. Tom, as always, appreciate the visit. Again, we'll probably be plugging you in for some steeplechase thoughts as the meet goes along, but folks can check out Saratoga Special online Wednesdays and Saturdays, and the handicappers every racing day.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and let's go.
And keep Mr. Shapazian honest. Keep the handicapping going as long as you can.
That's my plan. It's a tough row, but here we go.
That's all of our plans. Yeah. It's tough to keep it going during the meet, but I wish you a lot of luck. Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. All right, we'll come back in a few. He's in the green room. Orlando Noto. A nice win very early in the meet. We talked to him last year. We'll catch up with him again this morning and find out how things have been going over the past year and what he's looking forward to in the remainder of the Saratoga meet. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
That was Vintage Hollywood coming under the wire last Friday for Orlando Noda and Noda Brothers Racing. And in a very quiet atmosphere over on the front side, it was notable the enthusiasm exhibited by the Noda team for the win from Vintage Hollywood. And happy to be joined now by Orlando Noda. Good morning.
Good morning. My pleasure.
Talk a little bit about that. I told you with the new open-air press box, or the auxiliary press box, I guess, up in the turf terrace with the open front. We were listening to that yelling coming down the stretch, and it's so quiet over there. Everybody kind of looked over the edge, and it's just a lot of fun. That kind of enthusiasm is great.
No, that's the thrill of horse racing. It just shows all that hard work. Show it right there and let it all hang out.
Is it part of the enthusiasm, and it's extra special that it's day two of Saratoga. So if you get a win day two, that makes it extra special.
No, it does. And beat our first race to win it. It was phenomenal. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, there was some good footage of you guys also in the winner's circle as well with the high fives. And the enthusiasm is great. We talked to you last year as well, and there was some enthusiasm after an early win last year also. But going back to Vintage Hollywood, we're going to pull up the stretch run here. Again, this was last Friday. Number 7 horse, Vintage Hollywood, Manny Franco on board. fourth start off the claim after you guys claimed the horse, a couple of seconds in this nice win up at Saratoga. Talk a little bit about Vintage Hollywood and, you know, what attracted you to make the claim and how you've been happy with the horse since the claim.
No, the horse has been doing really good. I think we shook like 8 different people for the horse. We got him, and I was going to run him back for 25, and the trainer called and said, "Hey, I'm going to claim your horse today. It's in for a tag. You can take it." By chance, race got canceled that day. I run him for 32 the following week. He could run second. The COVID starts, then I run him back for, or no, then I run him back for 50, run second. I was like, all right, after that, we ended up trying him. I entered him at Churchill, but the race didn't go. He was also eligible, and tried him at the allowance. Kind of hung at the end that race, but I said, let's try one more time.
That was a state bred allowance you won, and I always, the class moved the other way, from state bred allowance into a claimer, an open claimer. To me, is a good move. So I think it's always tougher the other way to move from claimers up in state bred allowance. What are your thoughts on that? And obviously, he's done it successfully. So it was a nice, I mean, he's kind of gone in a way that is a handicapper, I think, is a tough move.
Oh, yeah, no, most people rather drop horses. I don't know if you've seen my record, but I bump horses up, and if they perform, we keep going to the bus just keeps on going.
Talk a little bit about, again, we had you on last year, so we covered this a little bit, but I always say I think there are new viewers every year, and so folks who weren't watching and maybe have seen your name in the program and certainly maybe enjoyed the enthusiasm the other day. Talk a little bit about how you got into the game.
No, so I started out with the babies in Ocala, bred my own filly. She ended up winning last year in Saratoga. On your show, I ended up announcing it.
GT Sonia, yeah, right?
Yeah, GT yeah. Sonia. And all in all, it's just a learning process. Everyone takes a little bit from everywhere. And I went to some big farms, Cassie, Harley and Lorenzo, Croupies, and then ended up starting it off on my own here.
Didn't you work for Cassie up here?
Up here in 2017 and actually groomed Flame Away. And he won the stakes here for me.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. And your dad was in the business, right?
Yeah, he's still off and on. Whenever he buys his own horses, he'll train off and on for many years, and that's our basis of me and my brother.
And talk a little bit about Noda Brothers and what the situation is. And are you exclusively at this point training Noda Brothers horses?
No, so we actually have gotten a couple of more owners. I've worked with Drawn Away, Zilla Racing. Now I have Mad Dog Stables,
good.
And we're just growing and doing things a little bit different, not trying to overwhelm myself
sure.
just yet, but all in all, it's still a learning process, and my brother was the one who started me off financially to get to where we're at today.
So you went out on your own last year?
Last year.
So talk about the last year and how it's worked out being out on your own.
No, it's worked out good. I got to give it up. T loves the fight because he supported the barn for a lot, and he's put me on the radar. And turns out that's how we started, and it's going good. I can't complain.
It's T loves the fight up here. What July 4th down at Belmont, right?
Down at Belmont. Yeah, he's scheduled for the Morrissey.
Ah, nice, nice. So we'll look forward to that one as well. Give us some idea of how things, from a trainer's perspective, how things changed up during kind of the quarantine lockdown period when things went quiet for a little while in New York. What did you do during that period?
Pretty much we just stayed in training. I didn't give much time off to any of them. T got time off, but other than that, I just kept routine training, and we were just waiting because no one knew a date, so whenever racing started, we wanted to be ready to fire too.
You did start some horses at Churchill during the break, though,
yeah,
right?
We ended up moving a string of 8 to Churchill and tried it out over there. And I met some good people over there. They helped me out a lot, and it's just a learning process and more connections.
So how's it working out up here? Where are you based up here? How many horses have you brought? Do you still have some horses downstate?
Right now, my total horses is 18. I brought them all here, sent some to the farm, sent some to Maryland to another trainer. But other than that, we have 18 based here and plan to show up in Saratoga.
I've been asking some trainers over the past week or so with the new surface out on the main track. You have any thoughts on that so far?
I think it's fair.
Okay.
I think a closer can win, and speed can hold up.
So you're happy with the resurfacing?
Absolutely.
It's going to be interesting to see, too, with the new drainage, how, once we get one of those Saratoga downpours, how things work out. I think it's, with the change up in the drainage, that'll be interesting for trainers, owners, and handicappers as well. You ever used the Clair Court?
I have not.
No?
No, I'm training out of Oklahoma.
And how do you like the surface over there?
I like it. Yeah. I can't complain.
And answer me this, with the situation this year, as compared to last year, things as busy on the training side of things in the morning?
The backside's pretty empty, I must say. Not a lot of trainers showed up, a lot of empty stalls this year. But as long as we're filling races, I think it's Saratoga.
Just with the protocols. What are you looking at in the book? You got anything on the horizon over the next week or so?
Yeah, I plan to run a first line. My big horse, like they say. I plan to run an amazing special coming up on Sunday. And I got two owners' horses, Mystery Bank and Starship Bubba, running on the turf. I don't have that great of turf numbers, but hopefully it helps
change.
You out here, yeah.
Again, go back to the last year and just talk about the evolution. And when you go out on your own, are there things you learn that you didn't know when you were, kind of working for somebody else?
Yeah, it's everything from managing people to managing the money. And it's just the interaction between all the help together is what makes the team, from the farrier to the vet to the groom to the hot walker. It has to be that constant communication going on to have a successful meet, a successful horse.
And people don't realize that, I think. As a trainer, you're really in charge of essentially a small business.
Oh, yeah. You have to learn everything.
Yeah.
From the bookkeeping to how to treat people. Because people come and go, and you have to find a way how to just keep everyone happy.
Another thing that I'm wondering about since the lockdown and with the new rules, has it changed the way you deal with jockeys, agents, and get jockeys on the horses?
So after this whole COVID, I haven't breezed any horses with jockeys. They just got to go based off of how we're working them. But other than that, we've had good relations with all of them.
So it really hasn't changed up. Look, jockeys agents, they're a lot in the backstretch, right?
I believe
jockeys so. Agents. So it hasn't changed up with the day-to-day,
right.
Getting a jock for your mount in a race.
Correct.
Very good. What has changed, if anything? Because as you said, and I think, again, people who are new to the game may not have realized it, but, during the break, hey, the horses still have to eat and everything, so you guys were still at work taking care of the horses 24/7. But what did change, if anything, as far as what you were doing on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, it was just more hands-on, just trying to just keep the horses happy, because sometimes when they get too ramped up, that's a bad thing too, because they just have so much built-up energy that they want to race, so you're just trying to keep them level, not to peak.
That's a great point, because if you have that two-month break where, I think we've all heard it, this one's tearing down the barn and ready to go,
sure.
But if there's a two-month break, they don't have anywhere to go, so at that point, is it just you're trying to get them, out there on the track and try to take some of that edge off with the workouts?
Yeah, I've always been one to train on every horse differently, but if they want to gallop long, I drop the reins and let's go. I'm not one to reserve too much.
So do you get on the horses?
I still get on the horses.
Yeah, very good. Every morning you're on what? How many?
Seven right now.
Yeah, very good. And does that go back to when your dad had the horses? Were you?
Yeah, when we first, me and my brother started in 2012, that's where I learned how to ride, was in a farm in New Jersey, West Hampton Farms. And from claimers, just jump on them and go around and learn. And then from there, I went to Breaking Babies, and that's where you learn the basis of riding.
So how many wins did you have up here last year?
Three.
Three wins?
With 2 seconds and 4/3.
It was a very good meet to kick things off for the career. And with the win the other day, have you set a goal to shoot for?
Six.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. And with the one in the back pocket on day two, that was certainly a good start. Orlando, again, we were happy to have you here last year with the enthusiasm. And again, after the win the other day, I wanted to pull you in again. And again, just give a chance to for people to meet a new and up and coming guy that'll be fun to watch throughout the meet, and I think fun for people to root for. So we appreciate the visit and good luck on the rest of the meet.
Thank you so much, sir.
Orlando Noto, again, the winner last Friday with Vintage Hollywood, and hopefully at least five more during the meet as we go along. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for this Racing Across America on Wednesday morning. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Wednesday morning. Let me hit you with some of the promos before we wrap things up. There's a double promotion today down at the Clubhouse Racebook. Keep that in mind. Knockout Challenge and a match bet. Swing by the Racebook and on Central Avenue and participate in those promotions. Coming up tomorrow, a $100 online knockout challenge. Find out more information at CapitalOTB.com. Same place you can swing by to find out info on the $100 online late pick four bankroll with Mike Callahan. That's tomorrow as well. As I say, stop by the website for more info. Friday, the bounty bet returns, $806. All you have to do to get your shot at all or part of that bounty is play the late pick five Friday at Saratoga with your Capital OTB bet account, and you're in for, as I say, all or part of the bounty if you hit the late pick five on Friday. Friday's also a Saratoga track bonus, a little extra dough to the top 50 highest wagering account holders. Keep that in mind. Saturday, $500 OTB live bankroll with Sully Crotty. That'll be happening live from Prime at Saratoga National. Do keep in mind that, as I said earlier, I understand it, some of the days at Prime have been sold out already. So maybe if you're planning to attend, call ahead and just check on the situation for a Saturday to join us for the On the Road OTB Live Bankroll with Sully Crotty. Saturday is also the Saturday Syndicate. That's a lot of fun. And you have until tomorrow to sign up for that. Go to CapitalOTB.com. Folks get selected. If you're selected, you chip in $25. 20 folks do it. That's $500. OTB puts in another $250. And the folks on the Saturday Syndicate team participate in a $750 late pick five ticket at Saratoga on Saturday. And by participate, I don't just mean you put in money. All the team members also get to put their selections in, and then a nice little consensus is put together to formulate that $750 pick five ticket. Sunday, a double promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook as well. Sunday, double promotion. Clubhouse Racebook. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this Wednesday edition of Racing Across America. We kick off week number two. And again, when I walked out this morning, there was a little rain on my car and a little, you know, some puddles in the road and whatnot. But since we've been in, it's a little bit overcast, very comfortable temperatures. The humidity seems certainly much lower than it was over the weekend. So I think, according to everything I've read, the weather's going to hold up throughout the day, and we should remain on the turf. Right now, we still are on the turf, knock wood, it looks like we'll remain that way today, hopefully. We also kick off, again, the steeplechase action today with the Kaiser, the Smithwick, the Grade 1 steeplechase tomorrow, so that'll be fun, and plenty of other action and wagering opportunities. So don't forget to join us and play along as you're watching here on the network in the afternoon. You're going to want an account, capitalotb.com or capitalotbbet.com. Click on the join or the sign up link and fill out the appropriate information. You can take advantage of the July sign up bonus by depositing $200 into your account before the end of the month. Wager double that amount, and you get $200 refunded when that happens as free money with your sign up bonus in July for new accounts. All right, again, I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks to Orlando Noda for joining us again. it was a lot of fun on Friday as his horse came down the track near the whooping and hollering from the Noda team, and I wanted to get Orlando back in to jump in and join us. Just to alert people, he'll be a guy that he was fun to root for last year, and he had a nice little season last year, and he's shooting for a better season this year, and we wish him a lot of luck. So, again, thanks to Orlando Noda for joining us a little bit earlier. Tom Law from the Saratoga Special. We didn't mention the Reader's Club for the Saratoga Special. Swing by their website and check that out. They have a Reader's Club that'll provide you with some benefits and bonuses as well. But thanks to Tom Law and top of the show, Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Thanks to her as well as we wrap up a Wednesday edition. Again, kicking off week number 2 here at Saratoga. Be back in tomorrow morning. I'll be back in at 10, but tomorrow morning here on the network, 9 a.m. is the Handicappers Report. And, of course, all afternoon long, great racing from Saratoga and around the country here on Capital OTV TV. So enjoy the racing. Cash some tickets. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit LeahCars.com. Leah Cars for life. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.